With MSM News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we're talking now with Millie Manning, who is a singer, a songwriter, an entertainer, musician, and an anthropologist. So I gotta find out about that one. Millie, welcome to MSO. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Very well, thank you. We're in the middle of summer, and I know it's a very busy time for you, and there's so much I want to ask you about the Gloucester and North Shore music scene, as well as the bands that you want to promote. But first, you know, in our warm-up, you told me that you went to Columbia University and majored in music and anthropology. Okay, the music I get because it's what you're doing. What about the anthropology thing? What got you to study that?
Well, you know, as somebody who was getting a degree in music, I just thought that I needed something to make me a bit more accessible and practical, and anthropology seemed to be the way to go. But in all seriousness, I just... there was a lot of intersection at Columbia with the music department and anthropology, because music is also sort of the study of people in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So there wound up being a lot more overlap than I expected. I took classes on the anthropology of opera. I wrote papers about the cultural impact of Beyonce. It was a really, really cool experience. And I do think that as a musician and a songwriter, a lot of what I do is observing people. And anthropology really plays into that really well as well.
You know, I thought I knew everything, but that is fascinating. What a great connection. You know, the Venn diagram where you're right there in the middle? That's awesome. Oh, I never realized that, and it certainly makes sense. We'll get to your music in a minute here, but was there anything that, in your writing these papers and doing these studies and learning about things, that really fascinated you and that you thought that, okay, maybe you could bring it into a music career? Because certainly when you say anthropology, I mean, that gives you some cred.
Well, I'm glad you think so. I think the biggest thing in anthropology was just sort of finding patterns. I mean, it's a study of culture and how people operate in societies. And so I think finding the human propensity for pattern making was really interesting to see that across cultures. And again, I think being able to make those connections and finding areas of commonality between two what appear to be like disparate themes is what makes an interesting song, right? Sort of like picking out different components that can tie things together that you wouldn't naturally assume come together. That is also really similar in anthropology, where it's like, oh, okay, this culture has this history of doing things a certain way, but it actually is so similar to a completely different culture that they were never exposed to before. So just seeing common threads across humanity and finding patterns. People love patterns.
I feel like
I'm signs and patterns everywhere, you know.
I feel like I'm a kid in class, and I think you should put yourself together a college course and go with that, because I'm learning so much here in such a short period. It's awesome. Wicked awesome. Now, when did you start singing, and how did that come about? And maybe did you have formal training? I know that's a lot of questions to be asking.
Yeah, sure. I always loved music. My parents were big into listening to music growing up, so I always loved listening to the Beatles, listening to all the CDs they had. I also grew up going to church, and all I wanted to do at church was sing in the church choir. So that's sort of how I got started. My first performance was a Christmas pageant. I took piano lessons as a kid, and I hated it. I wound up quitting because I just couldn't get the hang of reading music. And then when I was a teenager and singing and starting to write songs, I picked up piano again, and it clicked once I was in my teen years. So I play piano to accompany myself. I did take voice lessons for most of my youth and piano lessons, and then obviously studied music theory in college. A fair amount of training and education there.
I think it's fascinating when you say, you know, as a musician, I hated taking piano lessons. I get that. And I've seen our own daughter took them for a while. And then there's something called, perfect pitch and all this other stuff. And it takes some training to read music, for sure. And it's mathematical. As a math teacher, I know that. But when you I'll get into that in a minute. So tell me about getting into the local scene, because we were at an event that you and that Millie and the Half Nelsons were singing at, or playing at, I should say, and it seems as though you have an absolute joy in doing that. And of course, those were cover songs. So tell me about that aspect of the music. And I got to ask you, where did you get the name Millie and the Half Nelsons? Because I'm aware of a half Nelson knot with a tie, you know, a necktie, and of course Willie Nelson. But where did the name come from?
Sure. So Millie and the Half Nelsons is a cover band. We do 70s, 80s, and 90s rock and pop covers. It's really fun. Most of the band members actually previously had played together for a long time in another band that was fronted by a woman named Jeannie, who's awesome. Mm-hmm. So they were Major Nelson and the Screaming Jeannies. I drew of Jeannies. So when we got together, a couple of those guys and myself, it was like, well, this is half of Major Nelson. And so because the Half Nelson is a wrestling move, we said, okay, Millie and the Half Nelson. So it's not super catchy, but it has kind of a cute backstory. And they're a great group of guys. It's really, really fun. We have a blast doing that.
Well, it is catchy. And you know, I forgot that it's a wrestling move as well. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, why don't we start there then, Millie? Tell me about your current work, because this summer, as Gloucester and Cape Ann and really the North Shore has morphed into more of a scene for tourists, there are more and more music people, groups, solos, artists, songwriters, and whatnot competing against one another. And it seems to be there's a lot of venues for that. So tell me a little bit about that band, and then we'll get to your other stuff.
Yeah, sure. I mean, one of the things that's so great, I think, about Gloucester as a community is the live music scene. And there are a lot of venues, there are a lot of bands, and there's a lot of cross-pollination between those bands, too. So, like, once you kind of get in, you know, and meet a lot of people, and they're all really supportive, and it's really fun to cross-collaborate. So I have a couple different projects going on that I am going to shamelessly promote. So I play by myself, just under the name Millie Manning. Mm-hmm. So that's just me and my piano. I sing, I play the piano. I sort of bill myself as a sad girl because I do a lot of like pop covers that strip down. I do Britney Spears and Lady Gaga, but you know, make it a little bit jazzy and interesting. So I play a lot of Sundays at Lobsterland, Mile Marker One, Harbor Nine Golf, so, and you can get my full calendar at MillieManning.com. So that's one thing that I do a lot. Millie and the Half Nelsons is like the opposite of Sad Girl Sundays. It's super upbeat. We do Blondie, The Cars, Fleetwood Mac, mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's a huge party. We play a lot at Blue Collar Lobster. We play at the Rum Line. We play at Declan's, Minglewood, all over town. And then I've most recently started a new project called The Implications, which is myself, John Jerome, a.k.a. the Island Cowboy, and Jeff Small. And that's a really interesting project for me because I've always done originals by myself and covers with the band. And this is a band of three singers, three songwriters, and the other two guys play guitar as well. So we all write songs. We've been writing songs together. We do tons of three-part harmonies. It's been a totally different musical experience than what I've done before. It's been super, super cool to co-write with these guys, and they're so awesome and fun. So we have, like, a bit of a more chill vibe, I would say. We're kind of a little bit, like, folksy, Americana, and we just released our first single, which is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today.
Mm-hmm. Well, go on. Tell me about it.
So it's called Come Back. It's available on Spotify. It should be available on Apple Music shortly. It's on YouTube Music as well. So you can find it pretty much anywhere streaming online. We have also been in the studio recording a couple more songs. We're recording at Bang Song Studios, which is right under the New Cut venue. So it's been awesome to get to know those guys as well. They're so incredibly talented, supportive. It's just been so fun to be back in the studio and writing and recording these things. So we played our first show at the Whale's Jaw in Rockport in early summer, and we'll probably do another show in August or September, but really focused on writing and recording right now. So more to come on that.
How do you coordinate a song that's brand new when you either write the music or the lyrics or both, and you're working, you're collaborating with team members, whether it's John Jerome or whoever? How does that work? Who does you, take me through what the process is like?
Yeah, so with these guys, usually we'll all come with an idea. So come back with something that came to our practice space with and said, you know, this is kind of what I was thinking. I'll play a little bit on piano and sing what I have written and work out the harmonies. Sometimes the song is like fully formed and we'll just basically come up with our own parts. So if I'm playing piano, the guys will play guitar and figure out the backups. Sometimes it's just an idea, and then we just kind of riff with each other and figure out what else happens. Sometimes it's like, oh, the whole song is done, but the bridge, I can't figure out what to do for the bridge, and one of the other songwriters will kind of take it and come up with some ideas. So we've all had input into each other's songs. It's been really interesting in that way, but sometimes it's fully baked, and we're just kind of filling in the gaps, and sometimes it's really a lot more of a collaboration.
What does it feel like when you perform a song that you have written, either by yourself or in collaboration, and you see a really positive response? You must know when it's well received. What's that feel like?
I mean, it's the best feeling in the world. It's like, this is something that I created. This is my art. This is my passion. And I'm lucky enough to play out live enough that some of my regular friends and family that come out really know the songs. And so to like look out and see people singing back to me the words that I wrote is like indescribable. Like it's the reason why we do it, you know? So.
And what's the joy that you get from doing covers? Because as I said, the time we saw you and the band were just having a great time.
It's the energy. I mean, the crowd energy, seeing people dance, seeing people singing along. Covers are really fun because, like, you can all work together on something and be like, yep, we sound just like the record. You know, like, that's a really rewarding feeling, too. Mm-hmm. Writing songs is really hard. It can take a long time. Mm-hmm. So being able to sort of have the entire catalog of songs that you already know and love to take and interpret and perfect. There's a ton of material, and there's a lot of songs out there that are way better than anything I could ever write. So it's really cool to be able to interpret those too.
Well, it's funny when you hear someone, a cover band, do something that could never be covered, it's pretty awesome. And we have that around here in Gloucester. I want to ask you about the creative process, because when I was a runner, I'm not running so much now in my old age, but when I was a runner, I was able to meditate, to pray, and to solve problems. And a lot of times an idea would come to my head about, you know, what we do as sportscasters and newscasters, but I wouldn't have a pad of paper with me to write it down, what I thought of. So then when I get back home after running, it left my mind. Do you have it, you know what I'm talking about here? Like, all of a sudden a moment of inspiration will hit you out of the blue?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think it's so great that you brought up running, because I also run, and I totally find myself getting into that meditative state and coming up with lyric ideas. So I find that happens a lot when I'm running or when I'm driving, because, like, my brain, I mean, there's just constantly stimuli all the time, but when I have space for my brain to just kind of wander, that's when those moments of inspiration strike. I just have a ton of notes on my phone. I have a folder for lyric thoughts. And sometimes it'll just be like three words, you know, like a phrase that catches my ear and I want to write down. Sometimes I'll park after being on a long drive and just write down verse, chorus. Like, it'll all come to me. So I do a lot of just capturing ideas in my notes app. I do voice memos too, but a lot of the melodies come to me when I'm sitting at the piano, as opposed to the lyrics, which come to me when I'm sort of out and about and doing things. So a combination there. But yeah, I also have a voice memos folder of me waking up in the middle of the night and sort of whisper singing into my phone to capture it. Because once it's gone, you know.
Oh, I know. And technology is great when it works. And I got to share this with you. There were times when I was taking some graduate math courses, and I just couldn't figure out. I couldn't understand something. It happened more than once, but one time in particular, couldn't figure it out. And I'm going crazy, and I'm working on it hour after hour after hour, week after week. And then all of a sudden, one night, I'm asleep, sound asleep. 3 a.m., I sat straight up in the bed, slapped my forehead, and said something like, "You stupid ass, it's so easy." And it wasn't a dream, because my subconscious was working on it. So I went back to sleep, and I got up in the morning, and I remembered I had the whole thing solved. So the brain works in strange ways. Have you ever had that experience where you've been asleep and been awakened by an inspiration?
Yes. Yep. I don't know if things really come to me in a dream, but waking up and just having the idea there,
right. Yep.
Is such a bizarre feeling. Like, some songs I think about for a long time, and I ruminate, and I know what I want to say, and I sort of work through it, and it is like solving a problem. You know that the song is there, and mm-hmm. you just have to kind of figure out how to get there. And then sometimes I write, and I'm like, I have no idea where that came from. Like, that wasn't even in my brain. It existed somewhere else, and it showed up, and now it's here. And that's kind of those moments where you wake up in the middle of the night, or like I've gone on hikes and again got back to my car and just felt like I didn't even know that I had this as an idea, and now it's a whole song. And I don't know where it came from, but I'm not asking any questions.
Yeah, there you go. I know there was a prodigy back quite a few years ago now named Jay in Philadelphia. He was 12 years old, and he had had two symphonies published by the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra, and he was on 60 Minutes, and they asked him, you know, where does it come from? And he says, I just hear it. I just hear it in my head. So sometimes it's no explanation. You just write it down when you can.
Right, and it's like it feels like it existed already, and you're just a conduit for it, you know.
Okay, let's get to the nuts and bolts now. Tell me about what's upcoming. I will be linking your website to, you know, our site. We'll be able to, during this interview, people can click on it. And then I want to ask you about the website and the music that you have posted. But what's coming up?
Yes. So coming up, let me pull up my calendar, because like I said, all of my shows live on milliemanning.com, and almost nothing lives in my brain anymore. So I do look at the calendar. My next show is actually this Sunday at Lakeland. So like I mentioned, I have a lot of Sunday shows. I have in the month of July a bunch of Sundays solo at Lopsland and Mile Marker. The next Millie and the Half Nelson show is next weekend at Blue Collar Lobster. We're also playing a wedding in July, which I'm super excited about. So we are always available for private events, weddings, birthday parties, anniversaries. We've done it all. And again, I know we'll link to the site and the contact information if anyone wants to get more details, either about hiring or about our existing schedule.
Okay. Yeah, we'll post those links. And when someone hires you for, I guess a wedding would be the thing, person sits down with you and talks about a playlist, is that how it goes?
Yeah, so we have a pretty standard set of songs. So most of the events we get hired for are people that have seen us out and about, kind of know our vibe, and know what types of songs we play. So we'll usually do our like standard list, but if there's a special song that needs to, you know, a first dance song or something specific, we can also learn requests if we're given enough time.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay, that's a challenge.
But I'm not over-promising.
Well, good. What is it? My boss tells me, my business partner, under-promise, over-deliver. So I get it. All right.
I love that.
Yeah, under-promise and over-deliver. Now, the other thing I want to ask you about, and I think we'll probably wrap it up after this, is you post your music, or you have some music posted on your website. Is that correct? And how does that help you monetize things?
Yeah, so there's a wide variety of ways that I've linked music. I've done just YouTube videos live where I have some recording equipment at home, and that gives people sort of a feel for my live performances. You can watch those on YouTube. I have my old teen pop star album on Spotify and Apple Music that came out in 2005, so it's been a long time. That's always accessible. And like I mentioned, obviously the implications are releasing music now, so I would love it if everybody went and listened to Come Back, the new single. But I think actually one of the most positive things that I have learned over the past couple years about music is, like, I'm not doing it for the money. We do it because it's fun. I do it because it's my art, and I do it because I have to. And as soon as I sort of, like, let go of the idea that I would make money on music, it's been really positive mentally, and also I've actually wound up making more money because I don't expect it. So all of that to say is, like, not to discourage anyone, but there's absolutely no money in music at this point.
You know,
all personally, I do it for the personal reward. You know,
I think that's profound, and I think that is what success, how success is defined. Because I taught for 40 years, as you know, and I loved it, and I enjoyed it, and I had a blast, and I love the kids I work with. But I've gotten so much gratification out of doing this news and sports thing the last 15 years or so with Bill Newell, and this positive feedback. I didn't get feedback, much feedback at all as a teacher, but I get feedback here. And so I know what it's gratification, because I think you mentioned it earlier. It's something that you have created that you can share with someone who likes it.
Exactly. Even if I connect with one person, whether it's live, whether it's somebody that listened to the song and reached out, it's just really, really meaningful to be able to have people hear you in that specific way. Because as a musician, I'm like, this is my identity. This is what I do. This is my purpose. And I would love for everybody to hear the music. But if one person hears the music and it makes a difference to them, that's amazing.
Okay, I got one final question. This came in out of the blue. I don't know where it came from, as you would say. And you're doing a venue, and let's say you're doing a party or something like that, and you're doing with the Half Nelsons, and you're doing cover songs that you guys have, you're very familiar with. And give me an anecdote, perhaps, of where maybe someone stepped on a tomato or something and made some kind of a mistake in the song, but the party never noticed it.
It's shocking what you will see as a band in a bar. It's really actually really fun to be in front, because you kind of just get to watch the whole crowd. So I've ended shows and talked to, you know, friends that were in the audience and say, oh my gosh, did you see like that guy get in a fight and his girlfriend was yelling at him and blah, blah, blah. They're like, nope, I had no idea. You see everything. It's so fun. But yeah, I mean, we've had people fall into equipment.
Oh my goodness.
We've had it start raining and have equipment go out, and you just kind of just keep going. And again, like you said, like the beat's going, you're singing, everyone just keeps rocking out. There was one time I was playing a solo show, and I think a seagull got into Minglewood and was walking around, and everyone was kind of freaking out. I was like, just keep playing, just keep playing.
Oh my
and then,
gosh,
you know,
yeah.
he walked like right up to me, and the wait staff trying to chase him out. It's like, you just kind of go with the flow. Whatever happens, that's the fun of live performances.
Fantastic. Millie, is there anything I haven't asked you about that you'd like to mention?
Not really. This has been awesome. I think the biggest thing is that I would just really love for people to listen to the new single, Come Back, by The Implications. Like I said, it's been about 20 years since I've released new music, so it's super, super meaningful to me to have it out there, and we would love for people to hear it.
20 years of experience with that, and you're still a young kid. That's awesome. That's Millie Manning with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.